You wouldn't think 2,000 years after Jesus's walking the earth that at one point in time this particular passage was very controversial. But it was in the early days of the church. Because many people, even up until the 4th and 5th centuries, there was a particular sect of Judaism that believed that the Messiah had come, but it wasn't Jesus. They believed that the Messiah was John the Baptist. And so you can imagine what great family dinners those must have been when all those folks got together and they were looking at the two cousins and going, well, which one was the Messiah? Okay? Because again, the Messiah they were looking for was not the model that Jesus lived his life in. And John was much more fiery, in terms of going to overthrow, if you will, the old regime and bring in something new. And so because of that, there was, even up until the 4th or 5th century, still a sect that believed that John was the Messiah, not Jesus. And so, in today, Matthew's version is a little bit different than Mark's, for example. So, for example, in Mark's version, which is the earliest version we have written, you are my beloved son, okay? You are my beloved son. And that still lent itself to some, well, which one was he talking to? So by the time we get to Matthew's version, they make sure that at least from our vantage point, it's very clear. This is my beloved son, okay? And Jesus certainly seems to understand what's going on in the revelation, that he's being affirmed in what he has chosen to do for God. That's really the key that we need to focus on this evening, is that what is it that we do that is fulfilling God's plan for us? Because it's interesting, when you study Christology, or the study of the Christ, okay, and you study that stuff, there's a lot of question as to Jesus really understand who he was. When did he really understand what his mission was? When did he understand what he was supposed to do for God? And of course, we, from our vantage point, can't shake the whole reminder in ourselves, well, wait a minute, he was God. How did he not know all that stuff all along? But what do we then do with the human part of him? Because if the human part knew everything all along, would he really have been human? And so it's interesting, and I'm not so sure that it really proves anything, okay? But we talk about those things as we try to figure out what Jesus must have been going through, trying to figure out how he was going to respond to this call to follow God and to fulfill his mission in the world. And so when we look at the person of Jesus, that's exactly what we've got going on here. And suddenly Jesus stepping forward saying, I have to do this. Now when we look at John and Jesus and their relationship, okay, most of the time, you know, the superior is always the one that does the action that changes the inferior. But Jesus doesn't really see it that way, does he? He just sees himself as doing God's will, and he says to his cousin, just do it. This seems to be part of God's plan. Let's just go with it. This is the way it has to be for now. Because Jesus is all about fulfilling the mission. And as far as he and John were preaching and teaching about this baptism of repentance, was Jesus going to baptize himself? That's not the way it worked. He asked John to do the honor for him. He asked John to continue to help set him out on mission and to help him go forward. And that's as the story comes down to us. The real key for us, though, is what happened when we were set apart? What happened when we were baptized? Wherever that happened to be. How are we set apart for mission? Because again, just like Jesus, and as part of that whole rite, I wish we'd have had baptism every Mass this weekend so you could have done it again, okay? But in that rite, we say that we anoint people to set them apart, okay? We anoint them with oil on the crown of the head, okay? And when we do that, we say you're set apart for mission. You've got to figure out what your job is. You've got to figure out how you're going to serve God, how you're going to give your life to him and set yourself apart so that you can serve God as he calls you to do it. Sometimes we don't spend much time thinking about our call. But each one of us is called. There's not a single person in here without a call. We're all called to serve God. The question is how? And in what context? and in what way? But each one of us has been set apart. Each one of us has been anointed to do what that first reading talked about, to fulfill that prophecy of Isaiah, the prophet, that said, you're going to be the one that brings good news to the world. You're going to be the one that changes the world. You're going to be the one that brings that comfort into the midst of the strife. Don't you think we got enough strife in the world? How are we going to bring comfort to it? To proclaim to those in the darkness of the dungeon to come out and to live life differently. Does our world not still need that message? To come into the darkness and live life differently. Come out of the darkness and live life differently. I'm being blinded by the light, so you see, okay? But how are we going to come out of the darkness and live life differently? How are we going to encourage everybody to do that? How do we do that with our lives? Because that's what's really at stake here. Again, our faith is not just supposed to be looking at pictures from 2,000 years ago. If that's all it is, well, how many times have we done this? But if it's really about mission, it's really about how we're going to figure out how to live and fulfill our mission, then we have to figure out first how we're going to hear that message, how we're going to come out of the darkness, and then how we're going to dare to say to anybody else that we think that they should come out of the darkness too. How are we going to do that? How are your lives and my life going to make a difference in doing that? Because God still continues to come to us. God still continues to call us forward in mission. You and I've got to figure out what our mission is. You and I've got to figure it out in terms of what our first call in life is, and then we got to figure it out day to day, how we're trying to live it out as the Lord lets it unfold for us. But what we really want is each time we come back up out of that water, we want to hear God's voice. We want to hear God's voice ringing in our ears the same way that it rung in Jesus' ears. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased. Today's feast invites us to change the world. Let's pray for each other that we have the grace to make it so.